Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. My name is Guy Alvarez, and I am your host. And today, it is my pleasure to introduce Haley Altman. Haley Altman is a former law partner and now CEO and founder of Doxley. Haley translated her decade of experience as a practicing attorney and has an intimate understanding of the transaction processes and workflows, and created a company called Doxley, which is a secure workflow management platform. Welcome to the show, Haley. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for being here. Before we get into what it is you do, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the law? And then what prompted you to switch from being a lawyer and launching your own company?
So I actually took a pretty strange pathway to becoming a lawyer. I always envisioned myself as being a doctor. I was a chemistry poli sci double major in college, and I was actually doing cancer research throughout that process. But as I kind of went on, I really loved the political science, the aspects of how you can take companies that are trying to affect meaningful change and do more to help them move forward in that process. So I actually started as a lobbyist before I went to law school and worked for a firm called Ice Miller, and they contracted me to work with Eli Lilly. And so it was helping a pharmaceutical company navigate the political process in order to kind of move forward these kind of life-saving drugs. So I took that idea and decided to go to law school, and then found that my passion from the legal side of it was to work with these companies to figure out how we could take ideas, amazing ideas, get them funded, and help turn them into successful companies. And so that's kind of how I found my way into the law. It was finding that kind of area that I was really interested in, starting out with life science and figuring out what I found truly interesting about those companies. And that kind of led me down the pathway of going to law school. So it's not necessarily the traditional pathway to becoming a lawyer, but I found it to be really rewarding because the science side of it gave me a new way to kind of think about my clients and analyze kind of what they needed and how I could best serve them. I think it's that, yeah, thank you. It was a difference, but I think it's that analytical approach that actually led me to becoming partner and then going into creating a technology company. As I was practicing, I was trying to think of different ways that we could, you know, increase our book of business. So, you know, as an associate, you're trying to think of how are you going to get to partner? How am I going to kind of establish myself within the firm, establish that book of business, that kind of client portfolio that I wanted to work with? So I started creating little products within the law firm that would help us go out and generate more business. And so I found myself thinking about how we could be innovative within the law firm to get more clients. And then once I had those clients, it actually almost, the idea for Doxley almost became a necessity. Here I am trying to manage the clients that I'm working on, and then all of the work I have from the partners as a senior associate. And so I just, to manage the full scope of what I was doing and to provide that amazing client service that would lead to more customer referrals and increasing my book of business, I needed a way to really kind of see what was going on.
What kind of law did you practice while you were practicing law?
I was a corporate attorney, so I did mergers and acquisitions, venture capital, and private equity transactions for companies.
And so tell us a little bit, you know, obviously you very early on as a lawyer realized how important it was for clients to really have a positive experience and have the ability to, you know, law firms needed the ability to provide these experiences to enhance their marketing opportunities. How can law firms utilize technology to add additional marketing opportunities?
Yeah, I think clients are really kind of looking to law firms to think about how to innovate the client experience. I think there have been studies done that clients are switching providers or looking at alternative providers because they don't feel like they're getting the full scope of what they want out of their client relationship with their law firm. They don't necessarily give the law firm any ideas as to why they might be moving, but they just kind of, you know, gravitate to the firms that they feel like are going to give them the best service. And if you can come to a client and say, that, you know, we have a competitive edge because not only are we going to offer you amazing, you know, kind of legal service, which is really kind of becoming just the table setting. There are a lot of amazing attorneys that can do the work. So what's going to differentiate you? So if you can tell them that they're going to get, you know, high value, they're going to get and pay for high value legal services, and they're not going to have to worry that their bills have administrative tasks in there because you use technology that helps you provide the highest value to them, it can really be a competitive edge. So it's like looking at your workflow and saying, man, these different types of technology can help me get the type of work I do done. So I'm focusing on that high value stuff and the clients can actually see that.
I mean, I used to be a lawyer as well. And, you know, one of the things I found is that a lot of times lawyers would look at technology as sort of as a way to solve a problem, when in reality, technology only gives you, you know, the ability to have a competitive advantage if you're using it properly. Talk a little bit about that in your experience. How does technology give you a competitive advantage?
Yeah, I think the way technology can give you a competitive advantage, it does come back to one, that you use it. You can't just buy it and not use it. But there are a lot of technology where the client gets integrated into the process. They can actually get more visibility into the process that you're working on them with. And so when the client feels like they are part of the process and they aren't just sending emails saying, where are we on this? Or like, when am I going to get this feedback? Like, they have a better understanding. They can see into kind of what's going on. It gives them that kind of comfort that you're being transparent with them. And when they see that and they feel that, then you're going to have the ability to potentially get better referrals. And so I think that that technology not only helps you with the work, but if the client is brought into the technology, then they can see that that's a huge benefit to working with you.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. You know, how to do more transparent and being able to see exactly what's going on. Because a lot of times clients have this idea that it's all secret or some secret kind of sauce to do the legal work, when in reality, it doesn't have to be that way. I know you're a big believer in analytics, and obviously it's a big driving force behind your company. Talk to us a little bit about analytics and how you manage to use analytics and how other lawyers can help can use analytics to help close additional deals.
Yeah, I think it can come in a couple of different ways. When I was actually practicing, we would get RFPs to win different M&A deals or to work with different private equity clients or venture capital funds. And like that minimum level of analytics, the number of deals you do, the volume of work, the like kind of the dollar value of deals you run can be really powerful when you're trying to kind of set the stage for, you know, we've done work. But then it gets even more detailed. Like if I can understand that we've done work for similarly situated clients in that industry of this specific type, those sort of analytics are very powerful when I'm talking to people. It's also important as more clients push for alternative fee arrangements, the more analytics you have on how on similarly situated matters, the analytics around the cost of those, then you can actually start to better position yourself and start to be the one offering those alternative fees as opposed to being on the receiving side of being requested to have an alternative fee. So it's that power of data that helps you win clients and then set the stage for that relationship.
Absolutely. We've talked a little bit about how law firms utilize technology to create additional marketing opportunities. Let me switch that a little bit and ask you, how can legal technology be used to enhance the actual client experience?
Yeah, I think what legal technology can be used in a number of ways to enhance the client experience. I think one of the things I noticed the most when I was practicing is that clients will send you a lot of emails wanting to know where you are in the process, how close are we to closing? So in the transactional perspective, that closing date of a venture capital round means the paycheck for their employees. In an M&A deal, it can be the effect of a deal happening or not, or hitting certain security law notice requirements. So there's real meaning around some of these closing dates that have huge impacts for your client, and they feel like they don't know where things are. And so there's a lot of workflow technology that can be used to not only streamline and provide efficiency so that you're really focusing on the high value legal tasks that they want you to be focused on. But when you can bring the client into that experience and they can actually see, okay, we have five more signatures to get. And you know what? I'm actually going to call those people because I know them. And I'm going to tell them to get things signed. Deals can close faster. They can close on time at a minimum. And then the client really feels like part of the process. And so when you kind of bring the client into that technology experience, AI does it in a way that you can actually, you know, from the diligence review and contract review process, you know, you can use these different tools to really kind of improve how the client sees, you know, these are the number of provisions. Clients can have additional confidence that you've caught every anomaly in the different types of agreements they have. So different technologies can provide different benefits and enhancements. The e-signature platform gives the flexibility of the client to do things wherever they are. So all these different technologies can like really give those clients the feeling of, wow, we're part of this process. We know that you're working on the high value stuff and we're seeing the meaningful impact in it in terms of more focused work product and quicker turnaround.
So do you find that are lawyers pretty receptive to utilizing new technologies? Because in my experience, a lot of times, while they might appreciate the visibility and the ability to, as you mentioned, really get involved in a workflow, sometimes I feel like technology can also complicate things because they feel like they have to learn yet another way of doing things. So, you know, what would you say is the right balance, or how do you minimize that initial reaction to, oh, gee, I have to learn another platform or something like that?
No, I think you're absolutely right on. I think that is one of the biggest hesitations. They see the benefit of it, but the concern they have is the time it's going to take them to learn how to bring it in. It's something we hear all the time, like, oh, wow, well, I want to put this in, but this, I can see that this is going to have a huge benefit, but there's that initial hurdle of, oh my God, I have to learn how to use it. And so I think that's on us, on the legal technology side. You know, it's developing products that, and I think it's one thing that's really been important for Doxley and for me particularly is like, I use the product for our own Doxley work. So if I have to do a financing round, we use it. So we utilize it. We make sure that it is easy to understand, that even if I don't give you an implementation and training, you can actually pick up the product and get started using it. We also look at implementation from a way to do it in a bite-sized pathway. We want to make it so that it, one, we develop the product to map to their workflows. So we're not asking you to change it. We're just going to show you where technology fits in. But we also have a customer success team that helps teams get started with chunks. So I think when you're onboarding a legal technology, it's working with your technology provider to say, okay, how can I get started with like the least amount of disruption to my actual practice, but where I'm actually going to see value. And this can apply across the board. You know, you think of Kira has like 100 or so out of the box, different AI like contracts already in there. We'll get started using it on those type of contracts where you don't have to teach it a ton of new things. For the e-signature, get it, using it with clients that are comfortable with that. So you can always start small.
You know, as I mentioned to you early on in the podcast, most of the people that listen to the show are legal marketers. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them are at law firms. So if they're interested in, you know, bringing in a product like yours, what would you say would be a good way to pitch your product to their partners, to their leaders in terms of, you know, how to position it and what are the advantages around it?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. If I was, you know, talking to a marketer or a law firm about Doxley or, you know, another kind of workflow tool, I would really want to focus in on this is going to not only, you know, kind of improve the attorney's workflow from a partner perspective, it's the visibility that they need too. You know, clients, we talk about client visibility and getting clients to get excited and see your competitive edge with technology. For a partner at a law firm, you are trying to keep track of so many things, manage so many deals that you are delegating and you have to see what's happening. So looking at what are the unique kind of business problems that your partners are trying to solve. So in transactions, that visibility, you're doing things in really quick order. So being able to do things with visibility and streamlining. And then at the end of the day, the thing that matters most is I'm going to give them an ROI. I'm going to improve their realization rate. I'm going to get rid of the administrative things they can't bill for so that they can collect more money on every deal that they actually do. So we're going to make them more profitable. We're going to make it easier for them to do their work. And we're going to give them the ability to give clients that great experience.
I love it. So there's been a lot of talk about AI, specifically around the legal tech world and, you know, predictions of what AI is really going to mean for law firms. What's your sense? Where is this technology going? Where do you see this technology 5, 10 years now? What is it going to replace? What is it going to enhance? You know, if you could put on your futuristic goggles, where do you think this is all going?
Yeah. I mean, I think AI, you know, really assists the workflow of attorneys. So a lot of times when we would do diligence on a transaction, you'd have 1,000 of the same type of contracts that a customer would want you to review. And you maybe review 100 of them because the client's only giving you a certain budget to due diligence review. AI lets you like go through and find out that there are actually 200 contracts that maybe have an anomaly. So it's going to show you a more focused set of work that you need to be working on. So I think AI is going to continue to assist in more and more of the legal functions. I do think that there will be, you know, some work that is like typically done by an attorney that will start to be done a little bit more by AI. But AI really only works and only works well when it is complemented by the attorneys and the people with the legal knowledge to kind of complete the review and the assessment and kind of put the things together. So I think AI will become more prevalent. I think it'll start to be used in more areas than e-discovery or in diligence and contract management type applications. I think you'll start to see it come into play in different areas, but I think it will still in the next 5 years require the assistance, it'd be a human assisted review or application. So I think that the lawyer component is still going to be pretty important.
Phew. I'm sure a lot of lawyers can breathe easier now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Haley, thank you so much for being on our show. We are running out of time. Let me ask you, if you had one piece of advice for our audience or a takeaway that you'd like to leave them with, what would that be?
I think my takeaway is that, you know, technology is out there that can help you be more competitive, realize more revenue, and have better relationships with your customers. So go out there, look at it, challenge those vendors to show you how you can implement it and get that adoption and see that value, because we're ready to tell you and work with you to make that happen.
That is great advice. All right. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. If people want to contact Haley, you can certainly check out her company's website, which is doxly.com, doxly.com. Or follow Doxly on Twitter at @Doxly_app, or check them out on LinkedIn. And we will have all of their handles and all of their addresses in the write-up for the podcast. Haley, thank you so much for being on our show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do, and we look forward to having you back in the future. Good luck with Doxly.
Thank you so much for having us. We really enjoyed being on it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. In the future, you want to make sure not to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Simply go to thegoodtobesocial.com/podcast and subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any of the upcoming shows. And as always, if you are having trouble with your digital marketing or need help getting the most out of your digital marketing or website investment, please let us know here at goodtobesocial.com. Thank you, and until next time.